God came forth, freed his people from slavery in Egypt, and he brought forth the Ten Commandments. And I think most of us, again, if you've spent any length of time in church, are fairly familiar with the Ten Commandments, right? All right, now it is quiz time. Four of the Ten Commandments deal with God himself. Can anybody name those four of those Ten Commandments that specifically deal with God? There's one. There we go. There you go. One more. Something about the Sabbath day.
Keep it holy.
There we go. All right. So, four of the Ten Commandments specifically deal with how we're supposed to or God's people are supposed to interact with God. You know? Oh, am I not broadcasting? All right. Is that any better?
Nope.
Nope. All right. You need to switch mics.
Talk loud.
Testing. No, yeah, that's not working. Want to switch to the other one? Or I can just use this mic up here. All right. All right. Walk it away, bring it back. Okay. There we go. Okay. So, God gave the people Ten Commandments, and almost immediately they began to disobey those Ten Commandments, right? So, through Moses, God ended up giving the people of Israel around 600 commandments. Now, the reason I say 600-ish commandments is even to this day, even today, there are still scholars debating about how many commandments are actually in the Old Testament, which is crazy to me, but, you know, oh, well, is this an actual commandment or is this just advice? You know, this one was said twice. Does that count as two? So some scholars say there's 617. Some say there's 604. All right, for the purposes of today, there's 600-ish laws and rules and commandments that God gave his people, okay? So then we fast forward through time. Jesus is here. Jesus is one of God's people. He is in the Holy Land. And somebody comes up to Jesus and asks him, what is the greatest of all the commandments? And so Jesus responded with, well, there's actually two. And these two commandments sum up all of the law and all of the prophets. So let's flip over to the next slide. So if you want to turn with me to Matthew, we will go to Matthew 22, specifically to, let's start with 37. So, no, let's back up to 34. All right, so Matthew 22, 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law. So Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? His answer was, well, there's not just one, there's two. Okay? We were in the teen group on Tuesday nights. We're going through the book of Mark, and we had come across this version of the events in the Gospel of Mark. And we had a pretty vigorous discussion. It's actually kind of interesting. So the teen group, about half the teens aren't actually members of our church. They don't have any family members that come here. So it's actually pretty interesting. I also discovered, as I took over that group and began teaching them, a number of them don't actually have a lot of history in a church. So they don't have a lot of the foundational knowledge. So we started going through the book of Mark. Mark is pretty kind of short and direct, and there's not a lot of like poetry in the writing. It's kind of, it's to the point. So I thought that would be a good one for the teens. When we got to that point, I realized that a lot of these teens didn't have kind of the history of where those two commandments came from. And that kind of sparked an idea. And so that's what we're going to go through today. So let's flip over to the next slide. So, where did these commandments come from? Did Jesus just make this up? If you read through the Ten Commandments, the one that Jesus said was the greatest was not one of the Ten Commandments. So, where did it actually come from? Well, if we go back to Deuteronomy 6, you go to Deuteronomy 6, and then go through 5 through 9. I actually have it written there for you, so you can look it up if you want. And by the way, just a general piece of advice to everybody. Whether it's a visiting pastor, an elder, or your normal pastor, always look up a Bible reference. Never trust somebody to tell you what the Bible says. That is a very good piece of advice. So, Deuteronomy 6, going to verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. So this is Jesus referencing the greatest commandment. Now the reason I put 6 through 9 up there as well as 5 is because a lot of times when we read that, we kind of just stop there. Now, I think that's one of the flaws that a lot of us do. We'll pick out a line in the Bible and we'll just kind of stop there. We don't read the rest of it for context. So let's read what comes after, love the Lord your God with all your heart. So, these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I had to actually look up what the word frontlet meant. I didn't actually know what that word meant. That was just a decorative like headband that they wore, and it had like little tassels on it. So saying, write it on your forehead. You know, we sometimes, you know, what do I have, stupid written on my forehead? He's saying, write the word of God on your forehead. So what words were commanded that we should have them on our heart? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. Teach those words to your children. Have them when you sit down in your house. Speak them when you sit down in your house. And when you walk out in public, speak them. And when you go to sleep at night, have them. And when you wake up in the morning, have them. So when we say, or when the Bible says, and when Jesus reiterated, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength and all your, you know, everything in you, he's not saying just Sunday morning when you're in church. He's not saying when you just meet another fellow Christian. He's saying all the time. Your children, your home, out in public, your job, your friends, your family. The last thing you think about when you go to sleep at night and the first thing you think about in the morning when you wake up. Not part of your strength, all of your strength. All right, we can go ahead and flip over to the next slide. So no, Jesus did not make these commandments up. He was quoting out of God's word. Now, the question is, why did God give us these commandments? So if we go over, still in Deuteronomy 6, but let's go over to verse 20. When your son asks you in the time to come, so when your children ask you into the future, what is the meaning of these testimonies and statutes and the rules that our Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed wonders and signs, great and grievous against Egypt and the Pharaoh and his household before our eyes. 24, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be the righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. So why is it important that we love the Lord our God? It's for our good and our righteousness. This is what he was telling his people, his chosen people, the children of Israel. This is why you should do this. It's not just because I need worship, it's for your good also. So, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? It was very easy for him to go back into the scripture and pull this out. And you got to remember the context of why he was being asked this. They were trying to trick him. The religious leaders, the children of Israel, the priests were trying to trick Jesus. They were trying to get him to commit blasphemy so that they could stone him to death. And instead, he quoted scripture. And he told them something that they should already know, but something that they had forgotten. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders of that time, were clearly not walking and talking the word of God. They had clearly forgotten these messages from Deuteronomy. But again, we're left with the question of, what about that second part? Let's flip over to the next slide. All of this happened in the Old Testament, right? These were all messages for God's people, for the chosen people of Israel. God had selected these people and said, you are my people. Well, I look out to this group here, not one of us are those people. So what about us? What about us? Interestingly enough, you see all the different references up there in the Old Testament. Those all refer, and please feel free to write those down. If you want a copy afterwards, I will absolutely provide you with a copy of this. God was always thinking of the Gentiles, of the non-Jewish people, of the non-children of Israel in the Old Testament. This is not a new commandment. Every single one of those speaks about how God's people were to treat strangers, non-Jewish people. So let's look over to the next slide. We'll look at two of these more in more detail. So in Exodus 12, 43 through 49, I'm just going to sum it up for you a little bit here. That text is talking about some of the rules of Passover, which was a very important festival to be worshipped and to be participating in for God's people. And it specifically talks about how no foreigner, no person that is not one of God's people, shall eat of the Passover unless they want to keep the Passover for the Lord, unless they want to worship the Lord. Then they shall be treated as a native person. They shall be treated as one of God's people. This was the commandment that God gave his people back then. Back in the days after they had been freed from Pharaoh, he said, if a stranger comes among you and wishes to worship me and to join in the Passover, treat them as one of your own. He was already laying the foundation that the rest of us could come and join the family at one point. In Leviticus, this is a specific quote just from these two. Leviticus 19, 33 through 34. When a stranger sojourns with you, and sojourns just means like a short trip, like a visitation. When a stranger visits with you in your land, you shall do him no wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as a native among you, as one of the people of Israel. And you shall love him as you love yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt, and I am the Lord your God. I don't know that there's really another way to interpret that. That seems pretty straightforward and direct, doesn't it? When a person comes among you, don't do him any wrong. Treat them as you would treat your own people, as God's chosen people. And then God reminds them, you were strangers in a strange land, and I am your God. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide here. So, we've been talking about the greatest commandment. I'll get to the second one here in a moment. The question is, today, do you love God? Do you love God? Do you follow the greatest commandment that Jesus told us was the greatest commandment? He was very clear. This is the most important thing. This is the greatest of the commandments. Love God with all your heart. Love God with all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. So the question becomes, what do you teach your children or your grandchildren? What do you talk about in your home? Is God a topic of conversation? Does Jesus come up? Do we talk about the weather? Do we talk about politics? Do we talk about that nasty neighbor next door that won't cut their lawn and their dandelions keep crouching over, you know? Do we talk about the Lord? Do we talk about how much we love the Lord? What about in public? Do you talk about God in public? Or, no, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't know what people believe. I'm not sure. Maybe I shouldn't. I'll just keep it to myself. Now, I personally am not one of those people that I just stand on the, you know, the sidewalk and just proclaim anything loudly. I'm more of a, my personal interaction is more, I'll get to know you, I'm friends with you, and then I'll share things with you. And that's true of sports, that's true of politics, that's true of, you know, whatever in my life. That's just how I interact. So I'm not saying that you have to go out in public with a megaphone, you know. But when you are in public, are you speaking about God? Do you love God enough that he can overcome your fear of society? What about when you go to bed at night? What about when you wake up in the morning? You know, these, we read these words. This is what God wants for us. Are we doing it? That's a hard thing to say yes to all the time. I'm absolutely guilty of this. I do this some of the time, but I don't do it all the time. But it's something that I'm working on. Let's go over to the next slide here. So that second commandment, that's the one we like to talk about a lot. We kind of ignore that first commandment, even though it's the greatest one. Love God with all your heart, right? And we generally, especially in this time, we say, well, Jesus said, love your neighbor as much as yourself. And we kind of skip that first one, even though it was the greatest one, right? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that second commandment. Love your neighbor as much as yourself. How did Jesus love his neighbors? You know, there was a movement a number of years ago. People were wearing the bracelets and, you know, what would Jesus do? You know, I never really liked that. I always thought, you're trying to tell people that you have the mind of God, that you know in this situation what God would do. It struck me just a tiny bit wrong. I preferred the statement, what did Jesus do? Jesus did a whole lot. There are a whole lot of answers in this book right here. So we don't have to guess what Jesus would do. We just need to look up and see what Jesus did. So how did Jesus love his neighbors? Well, if you look up in John 13, Jesus was a servant. The King of Kings, the guy that could literally raise people from the dead, he served others. Jesus was a servant. That's how he loved his neighbors. And there's probably more examples. I just pulled out one or two for a couple of these. So, Jesus talked to other people about God. He was willing to share his faith, which I hope he would since he was the Son of God. But he would. He would share his faith. He would share about how God was great. He was obedient to the Father. He was obedient to the laws. He was obedient to the Lord, his God. He had compassion on people. There are many examples throughout the Bible, the New Testament, of Jesus having compassion on people. He ate with sinners, and that was looked down upon. Remember the famous, you know, the sick need a doctor, not the healthy, right? Jesus would go to where people needed compassion. They needed to know about God. Jesus also condemned false teachers and hypocrites. And you might say, well, wait a minute, how is that loving your neighbor? If you're getting false teaching, or if you're a hypocrite and you're leading someone astray, it is absolutely love to tell you that you need to correct your course. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely loving on other people if you warn them that they are under false teaching or they are being led astray by a hypocrite. That is absolutely love. Don't shy away from that. So, let's go on to the next slide here. So, I apologize, this text is kind of small. Oh, go back. Okay, so the question is, do you love your neighbor as much as yourself? Do you follow the second greatest commandment, the next greatest commandment? Well, the question is, how do you love yourself? What does that even mean? How do you love your neighbor as much as yourself? So I ask you, this morning, it's 11 o'clock in the morning here, did you feed yourself today? Did you feed yourself last night? Did you wash up last night or this morning? Did you clean yourself? It was a little chilly last night. Did you stay warm or did you sleep out in the cold? Right? That is loving yourself. That's taking care of yourself. But more than that, those are just your physical needs. What about your spiritual needs? Are you here today? Why are you here today? Did someone drive up to your house and say, get in or else? Hopefully no. You came here today because you thought it was important to be here today to worship the Lord. You know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, you want to know Jesus. It's important to you. That is you loving yourself. Do you pray? Do you read from the Bible? Those are things that you are doing to love yourself. And so how do we love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves? We can provide for their physical needs, and we can provide for their spiritual needs. We can love other people as much as we love ourselves. Pray for your neighbors. Speak to your neighbors. Speak to your family, your friends. Neighbors is a very all-encompassing word. That could literally be the person next door. It could literally be a relative, an uncle, a cousin, a nephew, a grandchild. It could be somebody that you work with. These are our neighbors. These are the people that we share this earth with. If you take care of yourself, why would you leave a fellow friend out in the cold? Why would you leave a fellow friend out of this? I had a Bible one time that was my favorite Bible. I liked it. I used it a lot. I ran into a person. I happened to have that Bible on me, which was weird because I didn't normally carry it with me in my car. I normally left it at home. For whatever reason, the Holy Spirit had it in my car. And I got to talking with this person about the Lord. And they didn't actually know much about the Lord. And so we had a pretty good conversation. They were interested. And I said, you know what? I have something for you. And I went and found a Bible in my car and I gave it to them. And you know what? Just for a tiny second, it hurt a little bit to give that away. That was my favorite Bible. I really enjoyed that Bible. I just like the feel of it. I like the way, you know, some of the other things that were inside of it. And I realized, no matter what my attachment to this Bible is, it's nothing. If that Bible ends up being the seed that gets that person to heaven, if that plant grows and that person gets to heaven, what am I out? I'm out nothing, you know? So the one that I'm holding here is one that I bought recently. You know, I mean, that's it. The nice thing about this day and age, we have digital Bibles, we have print Bibles. You can order a Bible from Amazon and it'll come in 2 days, you know, or next day, or, you know, if they have one of those little drones the same day, I don't know. But when we love other people as much as we love ourselves, none of us wake up in the morning and go, you know what? Today's a great day for a bloody nose. We just punch ourselves in the face. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. That's not loving yourself. Nobody does that, right? So, Jesus said, there are only two rules you need to follow. These sum up all the other rules in the Bible. You know, it's real easy for us to cast judgment on Adam and Eve for breaking the one single rule. But think about those Ten Commandments. How many of those have you broken? Jesus said, we can take all the law, all the prophets, and we sum it up into two easy things. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your energy, and love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. And so I challenge you today, how hard is that really? Can you do that? Can you show love to your neighbors as much as you love yourself? Can you love the Lord with all your heart? Or do you love sports more than you love the Lord? When you're at home, are you praying for yourself or are you praying for others? If you're praying for yourself, you're taking care of yourself, you're loving yourself. Are you also praying those same prayers for other people that you love? When you read your Bible, have you read your Bible to somebody else? Something to think about. Something to consider. All right, thank you all. Let's end in prayer. Dear Lord, we do love you. We love you so much. And we ask that you would rebuke us and convict us in any area of our lives that need that. And Lord, we ask that you would be with us and that you would give us wisdom where we are foolish and strength where we are weak. Lord, I ask that you would instill upon our hearts your holy words, that we would be overflowing with your love and your mercy, and that we would want to share this with others. We love you so much, and in your name we pray.